Welcome to Crescent, focusing on South Carolina life, politics, and a little bit in between. We are the state's first and only cloud-based magazine. I'm Taft Matney, editor of Crescent, and thanks for joining us for Crescent Radio. Today's installment almost didn't happen, at least in the way you'll hear it. After more than 5 months of going over calendars, we were finally able to get today's guest scheduled. But after we finished our interview, the entire recording disappeared from the servers. We scrambled to write an article based on notes and memory because our guest is too great not to share, but through the magic of technology, the audio suddenly reappeared and we're able to bring it to you now. Don't forget, unlike printed magazines, you don't have to remember to pack Crescent with you when you go out or even when you stay home. As long as you have your computer, tablet, smartphone, or other mobile device, Crescent is always with you. Simply visit crescentmag.com to read, watch, or listen to what we're talking about. And if you're interested in sponsoring an audio or video segment, or if you'd like to advertise in Crescent, you can visit crescentmag.com/advertise or drop us a line at advertising@crescentmag.com. In this edition of Crescent Radio, we're sitting down with somebody you know well. She's a native of Sumter who moved to Myrtle Beach when she was 6 months old. She's a Clemson grad who's about to receive an honorary doctorate from her alma mater, and there's a good chance she's been on your television more than once recently. She's Entertainment Tonight host Nancy O'Dell, and as a person, she's everything you'd expect her to be. Unless you're expecting something bad, then you'd be completely wrong. We hope you enjoy our time with Nancy, and thanks for visiting CrescentMag.com.
Crescent's guest today sits in as easily on a Hollywood red carpet as she does at the Grand Ole Opry. If you're at the PD, you may have watched her on WPDE in Myrtle Beach, and if you're in the Lowcountry, you may have watched her on WCBD in Charleston. Now, some of you may have gone to school with her at Clemson. She is originally from Sumter, and she is currently the co-host of the number one syndicated magazine show on television, Entertainment Tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Nancy O'Dell. Nancy, it's great to have you with us today. Thanks so much.
Oh, it's good to be with you and all my Southern folks. Love my South Carolina. I miss it.
You know, I mentioned your time in South Carolina working at local network affiliates, but you've achieved an amazing amount of success so far beyond that, not just Entertainment Tonight. You know, you're a member of the Academy of Country Music. You were the original host of Nashville Star. You've done movies, including almost the entire Scream series. You've voiced on The Simpsons. You've had guest spots on lists of shows too numerous to mention. You are heavily involved with charities ranging from NBA to Red Cross, March of Dimes, and, of course, your own foundation, Betty's Battle, named for your mother who passed away from ALS-related complications in 2008. And in addition to all of that, you have 3 best-selling books, and you're now engaged in the digital space with an educational iPhone and iPad app, Little Ashby Star Reporter. You know, generally, I ask people what they're working on, but I think here an easier question is, what aren't you working on?
Well, it sounds like I'm not working on rest too much. I need to work on getting a little sleep. Again, they're all really fun things, like Little Ashby Star Reporter, the app that I did, which you can get via for the iPhone or the iPad, as you said, was something that was like a labor of love because I learned that, you know, from watching my daughter and doing all these educational apps and loving, and that's just a part of their growing up. You know, there wasn't a part of our growing up is that they know how to work all these gadgets and stuff. And I saw her learning so much by doing these fun game-type things, and I thought, well, you know, I've always thought, well, it'd be really cool to have a little cartoon character who was a reporter, because that's one thing that I love about my job is that I feel like I'm constantly learning because I have to go to different places and meet different people, and I have to do research on them or research on the places, and it's just constantly a learning experience for me. So I thought, how great for kids, and then to turn it into a game and fun videos that they can watch, but it teaches them at the same time. And so, you know, a lot of the things that you mentioned are things that I love to do, and to watch my daughter actually play an app that I named after her and her repeat some of the things back that she learned from it was such a neat experience. And we have another one actually coming out soon. We're working on the second story and the Little Ashby series.
Congratulations on Little Ashby, because I think it was just announced that it was a finalist for Synopsis Kids Imagination Award for educational apps.
It was. Thank you for mentioning that. It's it was a thrill because the honor was for being one of the best in the educational arena. So that I take great pride in it. And like I said, we're working on the next one where Little Ashby is going to go to report on next. So when I tell everybody who who comes to see Crescent Magazine and listen to Crescent Magazine, that you can go to littleashbystarreporter.com, and I would love for you to sign up so that I can let you know when the next one's coming out.
And you can pull it from, you can pull the current version from the App Store, correct?
That's correct.
Well, let's kind of go back to the beginning. You know, when you were growing up, at what point did you have that moment of realization where you say, I'm going to live the rest of my life in front of the camera?
You know, I really didn't. I can honestly say that I remember sitting in my home in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, watching Entertainment Tonight, thinking, like, that's got to be the coolest job ever. I remember Mary Hart and her beautiful gowns and thinking that, oh, that seems like such a fun job, but never in my wildest dreams did I think that I would eventually someday become the host of that show. I actually majored in marketing at Clemson. So I started out in a small TV station in Myrtle Beach, Florence, selling television advertising. And because it was a small market, they didn't require a lot of experience. And on the weekends, I started doing news cut-ins for them. And that's when I realized that I really liked it because I was constantly learning. Like, I thought that that was, you know, again, one of the reasons that I did the app, but it was, I felt like I was constantly learning. So it was changing every single day. And I thought that was fun because the job never got old. And in fact, I say that's one thing I love about my job now. I may interview Tom Cruise for the 50th time, but it's a different movie and a different location and different co-stars and a different story. And so I'm constantly learning. So when I realized that I liked it, I got an offer from Charleston from doing the weekend cut-ins in Florence, Myrtle Beach, to come and work there. And that's the point that I said, okay, I really like being a reporter. I really like the fact that it's changing every day and the stories are different and unique. And so I accepted the job and thought it would be fun to live in Charleston, and was there for 3 years on the police beat and covering the crime beat and anchoring the morning news there. And then an agent called and signed with him, and then he got a job in Miami, and then from Miami I went to Los Angeles. So that's kind of how it happened. Kind of happened by accident.
Well, and things have really changed, too, since you first got involved, because there has been so much of an inclusion of digital integration. When you first got started in television, who would have thought that you didn't necessarily have to schedule what time you were going to watch something, that you would be able to watch it on a phone that fit in your pocket or on a computer that sat on your desk. Those kind of things have really changed the way that you're able to get out there and promote yourself, promote what's going on, see what's happening in the world of entertainment, what's happening in the world of current events, all of those things. How has that changed for you?
Digital has changed the world for everybody as far as news is concerned, whether it be entertainment news or news in general. And I say that it has provided a lot more competition. So it's, you know, it's great to be on Entertainment Tonight, which is such a, you know, a standard and really the one that started all the entertainment news. It was the first of its kind. So as I say, it's the gold standard when it comes to entertainment news because it did begin at all. And the tough part of it, though, is that it began at all. So it was like king, you know, back when it started. And now it's like just maintaining that position because there is so many different places where you can get your news. So we're constantly trying to, you know, make things different and do them sooner and get the exclusive. And so that is different in the world. But, I mean, I think that the great thing about ET is that it just kind of stands on its own just because the name has been around for so long.
And everybody else just kind of followed and follow the formula.
As long just from being the veteran, you know,
yep.
From having been around from the beginning.
With everything that you have going on, you know, you still maintain very close ties to your home state. And anybody who follows your Twitter feed, at Nancy O'Dell, especially during football season, knows that your Clemson Tigers are never too far from your thoughts.
Yes, that's right.
How difficult is it to be as involved as you are in family and work and your philanthropic endeavors out on the West Coast and still stay so deeply rooted in the Southeast?
Yeah, well, that's where digital has helped, that's for sure, because I can keep in contact with, you know, it's so funny, I literally on my Twitter not long ago, I said, hey, you know, all my Clemson friends out there, let me know about your other Clemson friends or a Clemson conversation, and like, it's, you know, I get the tweets to my phone, you know, and all of a sudden it started lighting up like crazy, so it's like, you know, you have a community like that, and you kind of stick together. So that's been fairly easy because digitally I can keep in touch with everybody via Facebook and via Clemson. But it's something that's important to me. I mean, my dad still lives in Myrtle Beach, so, of course, that's a huge tie right there alone is my daddy.
Absolutely. And, yeah, you graduated summa from Clemson, too, didn't you?
I did, summa cum laude.
And I believe that on May 10th, you're even going to get an honorary doctorate from the fine folks in Tiger County.
I am, which I'm very excited about that, Clemson University, given me, I was telling my co-host on ET, actually, today, I was teasing him, and I said, you know, as of May 10th, I don't expect you to call me Nancy anymore. I want to be called Dr. Nancy O'Dell. We got a good laugh out of that. So are you
going to start off at SO before you go over to Little John?
I might have to. I was there not long ago. We went back to see my sister. She has a house near Clemson that they are there. We went to see them over the summer, and that's where they took me to eat. And I was like, SO Club is fabulous. But I said, boy, I should have remembered it tasting a lot better when I was in college.
It's amazing how our memories fade.
Yeah, it's funny, in college, it's about all you can afford, right?
Well, you know, the Tigers are looking pretty good this baseball season, but as you know, being from the South, everybody is already looking to fall. So putting you on the spot, what are the Tigers going to do this football season? And will this is the big prediction, will they end their four-year drought against the Gamecocks?
Absolutely. It's time. You know, that game is, you can never predict because it's just so competitive that it doesn't matter how much better one team is over the other. It's just the adrenaline, everything gets going. But my Tigers will win because they're going to be the national champions this year.
And Dabo would probably agree.
Yes. And Dabo and I have texted about this because he invited me back to some women's clinic or something. And then I said, it was, so I was laughing so hard because it's like, you know, a lot of times I'll tweet back and forth with different celebrities and stuff, which, you know, it's a natural thing for me. But I said, it was so special the other day when Taj Boyd tweeted me. I was like, oh, Taj Boyd tweeted me. Woo! I got Tom Cruise and went, Taj Boyd tweeted me.
Yeah, it was funny to watch the governor's State of the State address back in January and to see Taj Boyd in the House gallery waving to the governor as she recognized him during her address.
It shows you how big the sports are, and especially Clemson football, you know, in South Carolina. And Carolina,
absolutely,
too. I mean, they're doing so well.
There's no doubt about that. And as much as I want to see my Clemson Tigers beat Carolina every single day, it is a great source of pride for the state to see both teams doing so well. You know, the state seems to be getting a lot of notice from Hollywood and from New York as well. The host of movies that have been filmed in the Carolinas, including there was a few months where even George Clooney made a temporary home in Greenville when he filmed Leatherheads. The Today Show recently broadcast from Charleston. There's a new Food Network competition show that is about to use Spartanburg as a backdrop. Lifetime's Army Wives has called the Lowcountry home for a few years. CBS announced back in March that it has a new fall series called Reckless that's going to shoot in Charleston. And even the General Assembly has taken up legislation to boost film incentives. Living in the entertainment world, do you ever have industry people who know that you're from South Carolina comment on our little corner of the world?
Oh, yeah. They're always asking me about Charleston, that's for sure. A lot of them ask me about Wilmington, and I have to explain, no, that's actually North Carolina. There's only about an hour from South Carolina, you know, from Myrtle Beach, but so I have to explain to them that from my hometown it's only about an hour. But yeah, they do. They often ask me, especially the more infamous locations, like Charleston and the ones where a lot of shooting has been done. I'm always trying to find something that's taking place in South Carolina so I have an excuse to go back home. So I'm always volunteering to cover those. And, of course, you forgot about Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds getting married there.
You know, I had completely forgotten about that.
I know. See, that was a big story on ET.
It was.
Are you all about where they got married?
They kept it under wraps, though, until the last possible minute.
I know. They did a good job of keeping it secretive.
And that's difficult to do in that world, but, you know, there's something about being able to have an event like that in South Carolina where people will just kind of leave you alone.
I know.
George Clooney would disagree because he said that that women would not leave him alone the entire time he was here.
Well, do the women leave him alone anywhere?
I can't personally speak to that one way or another.
Yeah, I think George kind of gets the attention no matter where he goes.
Yeah, he and I run in different circles.
You know, I'm sure you get a lot of attention, too.
As busy, though, as you are with family and career, you still make time for a tremendous amount of charitable work. What first got you involved in philanthropy, and really, how do you fit it all in?
You know, sometimes it's tough. You just have to, I always say that you choose your causes that are important to you and that you're passionate about, whether it's a personal, for a personal reason or for a friendship reason. To me, I think that the best ones to be involved with are the ones that you do have a personal tie, like Best Buddies. I'm very involved with them, and they help people with intellectual disabilities get out in the community and to form one-on-one friendships with them because they tend to lead isolated lives. And my aunt was a person with Down syndrome, so I totally understand what the organization is all about, because I know my aunt would always say, I don't understand why I can't be a cheerleader. I don't understand why I don't go to school every day. I don't understand why I can't be a member of the basketball team. And that's exactly what Best Buddies does, is they take these individuals and they form the one-on-one friendship so that they can participate in all these things, and they even get them jobs. They have a whole job program. So because of my alum with Best Buddies, I have wonderful bosses here at ET, and The Insiders, our sister show, and both have hired a buddy. So now we have two Best Buddies here working for the show, and sometimes they make better employees than anybody else because they're into their job and take great pride in it. And then I work a lot with MDA, Muscular Dystrophy Association, which I learned about them when my mom was diagnosed with ALS. They were the first people that came in and said, you know, we know this is a horrible diagnosis that you've gotten, but we will be there for you every step of the way. And they were there for us every single step of the way, and have specialized doctors who know about ALS, which is very, it's not that common. So it's, to be able to find a general doctor who knows a lot about it is difficult because it's just not that common. So for them to have these clinics across the country for you to be able to go to was a huge valuable resource. So the least I can do is to try and help them to pay back for how much they did to help us in the whole process of knowing what to do and where to go and who to turn to. And then
is ALS Awareness Month.
Yes, it is. May is ALS Awareness Month. So hopefully more people understand it better, which will help us to hopefully someday find a cure for it.
We can hope. We can definitely hope.
I hope so.
Changing to a couple of quick lighter notes. These are two questions that I always have to ask. The first one is, what do you hate to get asked? I don't want to sound like James Lipton here, but what question do you hate to get asked more than anything else?
Let's see. What celebrity do you like the least? I hate to get asked that because I don't ever want to tell it. So
sure.
I'm always like, no, just ask me the ones
that I
like. They're
your bread and butter.
Yeah, exactly. It's my job. I can't tell you the ones that I like the least. I can tell you ones that are not the best interviews, but I don't like to tell you who I like the least. That's always a tough question. So that would probably be the one, because I get asked that a lot. People want to know the good, the bad, and the ugly, right?
Well, they do, and I know that there have been some unfortunate situations that have been reported recently, and everybody is questioning why this person does one thing or says something to law enforcement, and they should know better, and, you know, things happen. You just kind of have to let it roll.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you rarely or never get asked that you wish somebody would, in the middle of an interview, just pop right out so that you could say what's been burning to come out?
Oh, gosh. That's a good question. I never get asked that question. I never get asked the question of what question do you not ever get asked that you want to be asked. I don't know. That's a good question. I'll have to think about that one. I would say that, a lot of times people will definitely get into, all the celebrity stuff and not focus as much on, the charity stuff that you asked me about, so thank you for asking me about that. Or they won't focus on, your family and stuff, which is as important to me, way more important than, anything in the world. So
sure.
I'd like to be asked about that. But people are just so fascinated about celebrity, which I do appreciate because it provides me with a living, that's for sure.
But you're a celebrity in your own right.
Well, I don't know about that, but I appreciate your saying it.
You have become a celebrity dealing with celebrities. And there's a certain sociological interest in that.
That's true because
you became famous dealing with famous people.
Well, there's such interest in celebrity, which I find fascinating in myself. Even though I do this for a living, and maybe that's why I find it so fascinating, because I've been around it. I've been doing this for, I've been a journalist for 23 years now. Of course, I say I started when I was, five. But
absolutely.
But I've been doing entertainment for 15, 16 years now. So maybe it's just I'm so used to being around them that the celebrity side of it is not as fascinating. To me, it's like more of what they do as a human being or how they behave or how they behave when the cameras are off. And that's very interesting to me because it's having been around them so much, it's not, you having done it for so long, you don't get starstruck anymore. But I'm always interested that people are so interested in every element of their lives. That's interesting to me, which, like I said, again, I'm glad they are because it does, it allows me to do what I do.
Well, and before we had talked about digital integration before, that has changed what allows people to become celebrities. Whether it's YouTube, whether it's shows that I would rather not mention that deal with our state that may take place in a certain mobile home park in the Independent Republic of
Oregon. I do know what you're talking about.
where cast members are getting arrested. That's what qualifies for celebrity now.
That has changed. Reality show stars are definitely celebrities now. So that has certainly changed in the world.
Does that give you a certain frustration?
A little bit. I understand the actor and actress's frustration because they've studied so hard to be where they are, and gone through, work so hard on what they call their craft, being actors and actresses, and all of a sudden these people who, do something become, on a reality show, become big celebrities. I can't say that it's not frustrating because I enjoy a lot of the reality shows so much myself. I love to watch American Idol. I love to watch The Voice. I love to watch those kinds of shows. So I like the entertainment it provides. It's just changed the world. That's all. And it's changed the way TV is because, programming is so different than what you watch on television now. There's no network you can watch that doesn't have a reality show. They all realize that they have to continue to create it.
Well, and there's the cost that goes into that compared with a fully scripted, fully produced, let's bring in a host of writers and do a three-camera sitcom or a full hour-long drama.
Oh, yeah, it's certainly cheaper to produce a reality show, no question about that. So that plays a big part into it because a reality show that doesn't have, the same amount of ratings that a scripted show has may survive just because it makes more profit because it costs less to produce. So it's funny that can happen, that it could actually be a lesser rated show, but yet it makes more money, so it's going to stick around.
What season is this for E.T.?
Oh, gosh.
I was trying to think.
Yeah. I think it's the 31st.
That's amazing. And I know that you had mentioned Mary Hart earlier on, and I know that had to be not so much a daunting chair to fill, but she had been there for so long. What did you have any hesitation when you got offered the gig?
It was a little daunting in knowing that because she is the one who started at all. She was the host from the beginning on entertainment shows. So even my 13 years at Access Hollywood, I told Mary when I came aboard, now I knew Mary from many years before because we had been on the red carpet so often together and have always adored her and we were friends. So, but even I told her I credited her with my job at Access Hollywood that I had for 13 years because had it not been for Mary's success, for E.T.'s success, then Access Hollywood never would have been created, which afforded me that job, which wound me up back at E.T. So then I did tell her that I have her to thank for my job. So, and to get her blessing, too. It was, Access and E.T., when I was on Access, they're competitive shows, and the fact that we air the same thing, E.T. is a much bigger show as far as their ratings and the way it's produced and stuff like that, but it's considered competitors because we cover the same thing. So having been around in that world for a while helped the transition a little bit, not feel quite as daunting because it wasn't all new to me. It was, going on a different show. But to get her blessing helped in that feeling too, for her to know that she had said that this is the person that I would like to replace me when I retire. To have her say that was a huge help and a huge honor, and that helped with that transition a lot. That made
it probably took off a lot of pressure as well.
It did. And then, you know, I came in to ET, I forget how long before I took over, but I was here for a good while Mary was still here reporting, so that made the transition easier as well.
Now, she was famously known for having her legs insured.
And she's still got good legs,
insured?
By the way. And maybe I need to. she still got good legs, by the way. That was one of the first things that I noticed when I came here. No, I don't have anything insured. Maybe I should should do that. Maybe I should insure my southern accent.
You know, there's still it's still there just a little bit. If you can, pay attention and you listen, it's there. And if you're anything like I am, if you get upset, it really comes out.
Now, see, you'll say it's there just a little bit because you're used to hearing massive southern accent like I am when I go back home. But here, everybody notices it.
Really?
Because even just a little bit stands out to them. So people will be like, where in the South are you from? And when I'm on stage, you know, I have to take it out and kind of do a more general. But Nancy is Nancy, so it definitely – and I used to have a massively southern accent. So just years and years and years of doing the news, it kind of slowly came out. But if you could hear my sister and my dad and my family, there's no question I got a southern accent.
Well,
and
you were able to play off of it a little bit on National Star.
That's right. I was able to become a little more southern and say y'all or all of y'all.
Which I've noticed is becoming more prevalent in general vernacular. People seem to be using it more outside of the Southeast.
They are. I think it's very contagious. People pick up on a southern accent, you know? I think it's fun. Like I said, the plural of y'all is all of y'all, and everybody seems to like that little phrase.
How have the TMZs of the world or Tyler Durden or Superficial changed the way that you approach reporting from a mainstream entertainment outlet news reporting angle?
Like I said before, the great thing about entertainment tonight is that it's just got that huge credibility factor, and the fact that it's been around for so long, and, you know, it doesn't have the banner of being a tabloid show attached to it. We see it in our ratings. It's like when there is a big entertainment story, a celebrity gets in trouble, or it's the day after the Oscars, or the day after the Golden Globes, or whatever, our ratings spike so much, and I think that I get so proud of that because it's like, to me, that means that, okay, it's got the credibility factor. When there's a big story that, you know, we're the ones that everybody turns to, and, you know, on a daily basis, it happens too as well, but you really see it when those big stories happen where you want to get the truth, and you want to get the information first, and you want to get the total information, and I think that's what ET prides itself on, and the fact that, you know, celebrities do come to us to reveal the true side of the story, or they do come to us with a big exclusive, or they do come to us for an interview, and I think that's how the show will always distinguish itself as, you know, the entertainment, truly the entertainment news and not the gossip, because we're going to go out and get the facts and the figures, and we're going to cover it like nobody else covers it. You know, I say that with great pride.
And after 31 years, like you said, there is that credibility. People know that they can trust it.
They're doing something right to have stuck around for 31 years, you know?
Absolutely. Well, yeah. I know that we've been trying to get this discussion scheduled for quite some time, but there was award season that you had to get through first, and
it
seemed like there was something every weekend. What event during award season is your number one?
I love the Grammys, first of all, which are fun and loose and crazy, and we get special access because they're on CBS. And then my personal favorite is, everybody thinks it's going to be the Oscars or the Golden Globes, but I'm sure you can probably guess that the Country Music Awards are my personal favorite because I am Southern and I grew up listening to country music. And
you're a member of the ACM.
I am. And to be there and easy present and hang out with the country music stars, it's just my favorite for several reasons. A, I'm a huge fan of country music, but B, the country music stars are so down-to-earth and normal, and they don't walk around with huge entourage. Not that all the other celebrities do that. They don't. But a lot of them do. And it's just the country music stars are just, they're very genuine, just very down to earth. They're just very normal, as I say. You know, you feel like you can go and just greet them left and right and hang out and have a good chat with them.
And of course, one of the biggest country stars around right now is also from South Carolina, from Charleston, Darius Rucker.
That's right. I saw him at the ACMs. I love Darius, and that's what we always say when we see each other. It's like, hello, fellow South Carolinian.
Even though he may have gone to a different school and wears a different color jersey, but
yes.
That's okay. We love our Gamecock friends.
Now listen, I always say this, and I know my Clemson Tiger friends get a little mad at me for saying this, but I say that I pull for South Carolina when they're not playing Clemson, and they're like, "How could you do that? You cannot pull for South Carolina." I go, "Absolutely, I do, because my mother went there, and it's another school in the state." So I think that we should be all supportive of each other when we're not playing each other.
Well, so I would agree, because the degree on my wall says University of South Carolina, but I've already written my IPTE check, and I have to pay for our season tickets to Clemson by Monday.
So, there you go. So you can be both, too.
We split the money in allegiance here as well.
I hear you.
But you have to do that. You really do.
Well, I do.
I know that you have a lot going on,
because...
and I do so much appreciate you taking time, Nancy. Congratulations on the award nomination for Little Ashby. Congratulations on the honorary doctorate from Clemson. Congratulations on all of the success that you've achieved so far and continue to build. And I just want to remind everybody that you can watch Nancy on ET all week long. Check your local listings and airtimes, or for airtimes and stations. You can watch each day's full episode online at etonline.com. And thank you so much, Nancy. It was a real pleasure, and I appreciate you joining us here at Crescent.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks to Nancy for joining us, and thanks to the Piedmont Boys for our music. Their song, Josephine, that you're listening to, is from their album, Walking Pneumonia, and is available on iTunes. Nancy couldn't have been greater to talk with, and we're glad to count her among Crescent's friends. Make sure you check your local listings for times and channels to watch her on Entertainment Tonight, or watch daily episodes of ET at etonline.com. Thanks for spending time with us. We know you have a lot of choices for entertainment, and we're glad you chose to spend some of that time here. Crescent wants to continue bringing you South Carolina stories you might not hear about in other places, and we'd love to hear from you with thoughts or suggestions about stories you want to see and hear. Drop us a line at input@crescentmag.com and tell us what you think. Don't forget, you can keep up with fresh stories and new content throughout the week at crescentmag.com, and you can subscribe free to our Monday email at crescentmag.com/subscribe. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/crescentmag, and you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/crescentmag. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll be back soon with more stories of South Carolina and South Carolinians here at Crescent. Crescent, it's South Carolina life, politics, and a little bit in between.